Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it could only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555 or your SMS on 44780008066. Or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the show, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. Well, what are we talking about tonight? The British Home Secretary, that's the Minister for the Interior, was on the rack today. I don't know if that's an Olympic event, but it's one that she's having to be used to, because an extra 3,500 armed British soldiers are having to be deployed on the streets of London to provide security for the Olympic Games, which begin in the city in just 15 days' time. The reason? The British taxpayer gave £300 million to a private security company, which told the government yesterday that it was 3,500 security guards short, which may have something to do with the peanuts that they were offering in wages for the job of being a security guard. But the new deployment brings to a staggering 17,000 armed British soldiers swarming the streets of East London for the duration of the Olympic Games. Never in the history of these islands has anything like it ever been seen. Indeed, the last time that armed military personnel were deployed on the British streets at all will probably be the best part of 100 years ago, before Britain even had a claim to being a parliamentary democracy. But it's not just the soldiers. The military aircraft, helicopters, jet fighters, naval craft on the Thames and in the sea, alongside the coastal resorts where some of the aquatic and boating events are going to take place. But most extraordinarily of all, bristling with rockets, missiles. I'm not making this up. People were told, against their wishes, that a battery of rockets and missiles would be placed on the roof of their house. Against their wishes, without their permission, by decision of the British government. All of this is going to cost us the best part of £20 billion. That's $30 billion for an Olympic Games that 59% of the people in the country actually don't want. Now, amidst all this hardware, 17,000 soldiers, 6,500 private security guards, rockets and missiles and helicopters and aircraft and naval craft, who's going to venture into the East End of London to attend these Olympic Games? Will anybody who looks like a Muslim be welcomed there? Will anybody who looks like a Muslim have any chance of avoiding being stopped and searched there? I say you got more chance of winning an Olympic gold medal myself. Now, just a fraction of this money and just a fraction of this state security power could be deployed to protect Muslim women from the increasing, escalating number of attacks upon them, which are being tackled in part by volunteers and by a new helpline which has been opened, where Muslims and even Sikhs who are taken to be Muslims by the racist filth who attack them can phone up. It's called Call Mama. We'll be talking to one of the key figures from Call Mama in the course of the show. These big, brave fascist beasts attacking poor women? Well, let's tell Mama all about it. Now the killing continues in what they call Saudi Arabia, where two people were shot dead in the last couple of days, and one, a very important Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, was not only arrested but shot by the forces of the dictatorship of Saudi Arabia. And mass protests have erupted in Qatif and elsewhere in the eastern province of the country against the crackdown on democracy protesters, unarmed, peaceful democracy protesters. Imagine. In Bahrain, which is currently being absorbed by so-called Saudi Arabia, an 11-year-old boy has been sentenced to 1 year in a Bahraini prison as a threat to state security. A threat to state security at 11 years old. And my warning to so-called Prince Nasser not to show up here for the Olympic Games still stands, Princey. Don't risk it. I'm warning you, we'll make your life a misery. There's going to be a massive demonstration outside the Bahrain embassy in Belgrave Square in London on Saturday. Unfortunately, I cannot be there. I'll be in my constituency in Bradford. But thousands and thousands are going to be there. The Bahrain Freedom Movement, the Human Rights Commission, Islamic Human Rights Commission, the Stop the War Coalition, of which I'm the vice president, all out on Saturday outside the Bahrain embassy. Give me a call if you are going to that, if you have a point of view on any of these issues. Meanwhile, there's been an election in Libya. You'll remember Libya, the country bombed relentlessly day and night by the Crusader powers in order to get rid of the dictator Gaddafi. How's it faring? How did the elections go? Well, apart from the fact that polling stations were attacked and burned and set alight, that there was widespread intimidation against the voters to try and force them to vote for the ruling regime, and it appears that the ruling regime has come out ahead, at least by their own counting, which may have something to do with the result. Jabril says that he's the leader of the liberal tendency in Libya. I'm not sure how liberal he is. He was actually a minister in Gaddafi's government until the beginning of the revolution. So I'm not sure how liberal he might be. He was an economics advisor to the now prisoner of war, Saif al-Islam al-Gaddafi. So I'm not sure how liberal Mr. Jabril is. But the Islamist forces have certainly polled far less strongly than they have in other countries nearby. That could be because it's true, or it could be because the vote was rigged. You tell me what you think. In any case, the individuals, that's not to say the parties, but the individuals have the majority of seats in the so-called Libyan parliament, and who knows how they will be going. It's quite likely that a tribal, regional fissure will open up in Libya. That's my take on it. Indeed, all of these are my takes. These are my views. They're not the views of Press TV. Neither are they the views of any government. And if you have different views, your call is especially welcome. Let's go to London for the first call from Abbas about Saudi Arabia. Abbas, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I would like to talk about the way how the Saudi police or the Saudi force arrested Sheikh Clark al-Nimr, and the way that he how the police and the civilian were and tried to shoot him at the beginning in a way that to kill him, and then they arrest him in a way that they photo it and they make a demonstration for it, and they let everybody to see the way how they arrested. And until now, we haven't heard nothing from the U.S. or from the Western, or from even though from the Human Rights Commission about the way how they arrest him. It seems everybody happy about it. Even though they violate the Sheikh al-Nimr rights, he should be not arrested. If you look for his background, that he is calling in his speech after each prayer to encourage the people to go and call about them rights and them demands. And everybody knows
everybody knows, Abbas, everybody knows that fighting for rights in Saudi Arabia, as they call it, is a very dangerous business because it is the grimmest dictatorship of them all. It is the unfreest country on the earth. And just to ask for the most basic, simple liberty is to risk your life and limb. Everybody knows that. It is a torturing, murdering, thieving dictatorship. That's why it's America and Britain's best friend. That's the kind of government we like here in Britain and in the United States, as long as they follow our orders. Abbas, thanks for the call. It wasn't a great line, but I'm sure it was a great call. We're talking about Saudi Arabia. We're talking about Bahrain, where an 11-year-old boy has just been imprisoned for a year for threatening state security, and where a prince of the royal blood, no less, has been accused of personally torturing Bahraini athletes just before getting on a plane and coming to London for the Olympic Games. Well, not if I can help it. Let's stay in London. Talk to Abdul about the same subject, Saudi Arabia. Abdul, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Mr. Galloway. Good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Mr. Galloway, I want to talk about Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Mr. Galloway, long time I used to tell you this about these people. Hypocrisy for these people. Where is the human rights? Always they call human rights and how do you call it? United Nations human rights and all they used to call other countries like Syria, like to be democracy. Where are they? Saudi Arabia people calling for democracy. They kill them. Nobody say nothing. American, Britain, nobody say anything. They kill innocent people. Where are they?
Well, they're counting their money, Abdul. That's what they're doing. Their corrupt relationship with the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia. It's not about Islam. It's not about Mecca. It's not about Medina. It's not about Najd or Hijaz. It's about money. That's what they're doing. They're counting their money. The Saudi dictators spend their money in London, Paris, New York. That's what it's about. It's a corrupt, organized crime. We give the dictators weapons to kill their people, and the dictators give us money for the weapons. And so it endlessly recycles, and anything left over gets spent in the casinos, in the bordellos, in the property markets, the arms bazaars, the property markets in England and America, Paris. That's why our governments support these tyrants. For money. It's not about religion. Religious people believe in the prophets. Peace be upon them. The Western leaders believe in the prophets and how to get a bigger peace on them. Now, I was telling you earlier about the escalating number of attacks upon Muslim women. These brave, dirty, racist fascists think nothing of pulling women's hijabs, spitting on them, rubbing feces in their face, putting feces through their doors. You know, that's the kind of people that they are. But volunteers in a wonderful new organization called Faith Matters have set up a wonderful new helpline called Tell Mama. And Fayaz Mogul is on the line now to talk to us about it. Fayaz, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us about the reasons why you've had to set this helpline up.
Well, over the last 10 years, Muslim communities have been consistently saying that they've been coming under quite a substantial amount of prejudice, particularly Muslim women have been saying this. And so this helpline has been set up, one, to assist victims, and two, to see the scale of the potential issue around anti-Muslim prejudice.
And what is the scale of that?
Well, we can't be alarmist, but we launched this in March of this year. We have approximately 180 cases logged. But as each day goes by and more people know about the project, there is more and more individuals who are calling in. George, if I can say, the concern we have is the absolutely enormous amount of anti-Muslim prejudice, hate, call it what you want, online, that seems to be unchecked. Seemingly, individuals believe it's okay to threaten, post comments about bombing mosques and think they post them and walk away. And the shocking thing for us has been the enormous amount of anti-Muslim hate online.
And what are the police doing about this? After all, if it were Muslims making threats to bomb churches, or Muslims making threats against Christian politicians, you could be sure that the police and the media would be very busy indeed.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, the police is pushing hate crime up the agenda. There is a slight, however, the police are pushing it up the agenda. They see it as something that needs to be tackled, but we have regional variations in the forces. Some forces are very hot on reporting back to victims. They're very good at pushing this and getting prosecutions. Some forces have some distance to go. Maybe some further training is needed. Maybe some further assistance is needed. But, George, there is a gap here. There is a gap here in the law. And the gap here in the law is this. I know that Freedom of Speech campaign has talked about the need for people to criticize religion. That's perfectly natural, normal in our society for people to criticize, discuss, and debate. But when you have individuals who threaten to burn the Quran, who call Muslims pedophiles, and then the law really says, or effectively, they fall in between a crack. They haven't threatened a Muslim. It could be incitement. We need specifically clear direction from the CPS on this and some outreach work from the Criminal Prosecution Service to tell Muslim communities what can be potentially prosecuted and what can't. Because, in all fairness, we're feeding in the information, but the public need to know what they can complain in about and what potentially falls under this issue of freedom of speech. But there's an enormous amount of hate here that seems to go unchecked, and one in three of the cases that are logged with us have a perpetrator who is an EDL sympathiser, and I think the Home Office needs
now,
to...
Now, the EDL, just for the international audience, Fayaz, is a group of far-right white racists.
Absolutely. I mean, that basically sums it up. I mean, if they want to burn the Quran and abuse all Muslims, then in fact they're an extremist group. And the Home Office needs to look at this issue because our data is showing substantial amount of their propaganda providing individuals with a warped sense of Muslims, and that gives them some kind of perspective to go on the street and think that they can abuse Muslim, predominantly females, and they think that's normal. I think that's disgraceful.
Well, maybe the police need to have more agents inside the EDL and fewer inside Friends of the Earth and Greenpeace. After all, nobody in Greenpeace ever wanted to hurt any person. Now, thanks for that call, Fayaz, and the best of luck with the project, Tell Mama. Let's go all the way to Pakistan, talk to Ghulam about Saudi Arabia and Bahrain. Ghulam, welcome to the show. Ghulam?
Well,
go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, George. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, very good. Go ahead.
I want to talk about Saudi Arabia. And in Saudi Arabia, thousands of people in Saudi Arabia took to the streets today. And there's a clear indication that no mass protests will held in all major cities of Saudi Arabia because Shia and Sunni Muslims are tortured, killed, and even denied their basic human rights. So it seems that the days of Al-Saud family are numbered. And I want to say one thing, that I can't differentiate Saudi and Israeli governments. Both of the governments are working for American interests. What do you want to say about that?
I don't think anyone would seriously contest that point. I doubt if the Saudi tyrants would even contest it themselves. The WikiLeaks made very clear the relationship between that tyranny and the United States, and Britain for that matter. It's a blood-sucking operation. The tyrants suck the blood of the people of Arabia. They suck the oil that God gave to the Arabs and to the Muslims, and they use the profit from it to commit every sin known to man with the funds that they have sucked from the people of Arabia, and they give a portion of it to the Western countries in exchange for protection, military, political, diplomatic protection. What do you say, Ghulam? Unfortunately, it's a poor line. And we always like to talk to our friends in Pakistan because we've got a massive audience there, as we do around the world. So thanks, Ghulam, for that call. Sorry I didn't get you back in to the debate. We're talking about Saudi Arabia, talking about Bahrain. We're talking about the Olympic Games and the nearly 20,000 million pounds, that's nearly $30,000 million that the hard-pressed British taxpayer is having to pay for having their city overrun with thousands, 17,000 armed British soldiers. It's a very, very poor bargain. And guess who's claiming credit for it? Mr. Tony Blair. Who would have thunk it? Let's talk to Ali in the UK about the same subject, Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Ali, go ahead. Ali?
George, the last week was very difficult for Bahraini people as well as Saudi people, because both of the regimes are targeting the activists. Nabil Rajab has been arrested. There is an abuse happening inside the jail, and an attack of a religious man, a very high-level clerk in Saudi Arabia and in the eastern.
This is Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, yeah?
Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr. And I really don't understand, where are they hiding, those regimes? Because it seems they wanted to kill everyone and jail everyone who are raising their voice against the injustice, against this dictatorship. So the point I want to make here is this, a regime that the international community and the people around the world would respect? Is this a regime that international community should be silent against them, or should treat them as a fascist and unwanted regime inside the international community? I mean, there is a double standard happening here. In Syria, they're accusing the regime of killing, where we know the money and the people behind
the weapons.
In Syria mainly.
The Saudis are giving weapons and money so that they can bring democracy
Saudis
to Syria.
And
while they are murdering the people asking for democracy in their own country. Who would believe that one, Ali?
That is the point. Saudi Arabia is pushing at billions of dollars, weapons, and people as well to go and make killing inside Syria, because they claim they are asking for democracy. And in Eastern Province and Bahrain, there are peaceful people who are demanding democracy, and they are facing them with weapons and, with all sorts of abuses and...
Of course, Saudi Arabia, Qatar and Bahrain were the founder members with Mrs. Clinton of the Friends of Democratic Syria. Bahrain, too, is killing the people asking for democracy in Bahrain. They're ready to fight for democracy in Syria whilst killing the people asking for democracy in their own country. And this regime of thieves and butchers are actually having the gall, the audacity, to send a prince, this so-called Prince Nasser, to London for the Olympic Games, even though he's been torturing with his own hands Bahraini athletes. I mean, you really couldn't make it up, Ali. But tragically, you don't have to, because it's the truth, and it happened, and it's happening still. God willing, I'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the second half of Comment. Don't miss it.